Good morning, everyone. There's been a lot that has been stirring in our hearts, and I like things to be in order, and I like A, B, and C. So I tried to put some points out that are three P's, and so if you're that kind of person, you might like this message. But God has so much stirring in me right now. Yeah, so I just want to say thank you so much for inviting us. You guys have amazing pastors. Every time I've been around your pastors, they're just really encouraging. And Pastor Mike, he just, you could feel his love and passion for you guys. And that hunger he has to see God do something and move in this church. And so I honor them. And you guys have amazing pastors. So Jesus, I pray for your words to come forth this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to each and every heart, that you would prepare hard ground, and that you would just bring encouragement to those who are feeling discouraged this morning. We say, have your way, Lord. This is your service and not ours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I actually did not grow up in the church at all. I remember when I was in like second grade, I asked my dad what religion we were, because you're learning about religion. And he said, we're not a religion. I said, well, what would we be if you had to pick one? And he said, I guess I'd be a Christian. I'm like, okay, great. Good to know. So I didn't know anything about Jesus. The first time I went to church, they're singing about the blood of Jesus and the lamb being holy or something like that. And I'm like, what the heck are they doing? These people are crazy. But I stuck it out, and the Holy Spirit just really started to touch me. But if you do not grow up going to church and go to church, it's a very strange experience. I like things really simple. And I love the New Living Translation. So I'm going to be sharing out of the New Living Translation. If you guys are like New King James all the way or ESV, that's me, whatever, you know, just bear with me. I'm a simple person. I look them up in different translations. I use a concordance, but I love how the New Living flows. So as I was praying, The phrase that kept coming to my heart is, there's a reason for your season. There's a reason for every season that you go through. And I don't want any of you guys to miss out on that reason. And I don't think God wants you to miss out on that reason. There's this saying that the grass is greener on the other side. But the truth is, the grass is greener when you water it. So there's a reason that God has you in the season that you're in. And you ready for the first P? It's preparation. So God wants to prepare you in the season that you're in. And I am telling you, I feel like this is what the Holy Spirit is doing in every season of my life. He's preparing me for the next. The Bible says that we go from glory to glory. And I'm going to be reading this. I think it's, oh no, it's up there, but it's not up there. So how do you know when it gets up there? Okay, so this is 1 Peter 1, if anybody wants to look in your Bible. But if you don't have NLT, you're welcome to read along with me. It says, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. May God give you more and more grace and peace. All praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And though your faith God is and through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So here we go. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy, the reward for trusting him who will be the salvation of your souls. Okay, so in the season of preparation, you're going to walk through so many trials. Every season is going to have trials. It doesn't say there's just going to be one, and I don't know what preacher would ever preach this, that when you give your life to Jesus, it's going to be easy and it's not going to be a problem. But I've heard that preachers preach things like that, and I've met people who have been really hurt by the church because they thought when they give their life to Jesus, everything's going to be so easy peasy and amazing. And it's amazing, but you're going to walk through trials. And when you face these trials, you have an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to be purified if you allow it, if you allow your heart to be soft, and you allow your heart to receive whatever God wants to speak to you. So he wants to prepare your heart. Sometimes we think something should look a different way than it should, and God needs to work in our hearts. So when I first married Siwa, I was not really excited to go to his church. I was excited to be at the church I was at. I didn't even want to really get married when I moved back. I was like, I'm going to go meet all these college students and I'm going to help them walk in their destiny and their calling, and it's going to be great. Like, that's the destiny that's here in this area. And God had a different plan. And so I would tell Siwa when we first got married, we're going to transition out of this church. we gotta raise up leaders, and we gotta pour into your youth leaders because they're gonna be the next youth pastors, which is true, and it's great to do. Like, you should always be pouring into the people coming behind you, and we have done that, and it's been amazing. But in my heart, I was saying, God, get me out of here. I don't want to be here. And one day, I remember the exact moment, I said another transition word to my husband, and he just began to weep. I was like, oh, okay, God. And he said, babe, I feel like God has called me here, that I'm here to make a difference and to minister to these youth. And I said, okay. Like, I don't know how long that's going to be, but I don't feel a transition right now. I feel like we're supposed to sow into these lives. And I said, okay, Lord, change my heart. And I begin to get on my knees and cry out and say, okay, God, if you've called me here, you need to change my heart. And he began to give me a passion, the same passion that my husband had for these kids. And We had like maybe two or three girls that would rotate coming to youth group, and none of them really wanted to be there. They were not excited. They were hurt, and when God changed my heart, you know what started to happen? I started to get a compassion and a passion for these girls, and we now probably have like probably 20 girls that are coming. He has touched these girls' lives, and it continues to grow. Like this last week, there was 4 new girls that were going to come, and we got like 3 feet of snow, so we canceled. But new girls are coming, and they're excited, and they're growing. But when my heart was cold, and my heart was thinking somewhere else where the grass is greener on the other side, God wasn't able to work the way that he wanted to work. So he wants to prepare your heart. There's a man, his name's Rick Riddings. He's some sort of leader in Israel. I don't really know. I work for a mission school, and we've had him come speak at the mission school, so I don't know everything that he does. But he had a daughter who just lost the battle to cancer, and he shared this story, and she died, and then came back to life. And she said she had an encounter with Jesus when she died, before she really died, and she shared this with her family. And God spoke to her, and he said, "What pleased me the most was when you were obedient and didn't want to be. What pleased me the most was when you were obedient and didn't want to be." And that word that Jesus spoke to her, I feel like was a word for me in that season. That God, he wanted to transform my heart so that I could be, I was being obedient when I didn't want to be, but it was hard. And he was saying, "I'm pleased with you." When you say yes, God, and you don't understand, when you say yes, Jesus, and you don't get it and you don't want to, he is so pleased. He delights in your obedience. The thing about the church is that there's a lot of people that come to church, and we're all in different stages of life. And anywhere you go, actually, there's going to be hurt people. And hurt people hurt people. But healed people healed people. And God wants to use you to bring healing to people's lives. And you can't do that if your heart isn't in the wrong place. If your heart is bitter and confused and entitled. He wants to prepare your mind. And the truth is, the only way that you could find truth and be transformed in your mind is by reading the Word of God. The Word of God is the most powerful thing, powerful tool that God has given us. It transforms the way that we think and the way that we act. He wants to prepare your destiny as you read the Word of God. He wants you to take a hold of his promises. He wants you to not just hear them on a Sunday morning, not just read them for yourself or look at them, or he wants you to possess them. He wants you to become the Word of God. There's so many amazing promises, but I'll tell you this little story. I'm just gonna be real and vulnerable and open with you guys. Is that okay? Like, you can pretend like you don't have thoughts like this, but this is just me, and maybe you're more holy, but I didn't like my brother-in-law. I thought he was a stinker, for a better word, but I was so mad at him. I didn't want him to marry my sister. I didn't want him to be a part of our family, and I didn't feel like he was a good representation of Christ. So I began, one day I was reading the Word of God, and I got to Philippians 2. Does anybody know this chapter? So Philippians 2, I can't tell you everything it says off the top of my head, but it's talking about the character and attitude of Christ. And there's one part that stuck out to me. And it says, to think of others as better than yourself. I was like, no! I'm like, no, Jesus. I don't know how to do that. Like, I can't do that. But there was something inside of me. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me and saying, you can do it. Take a hold of this word. Take a hold of it. Let your pride die on the altar. So I said, okay, Jesus. And I wrote out that scripture and I put it everywhere. Like, I had it on my speedometer. So if I was looking at how fast I was going, I was going to be reading. Think of others as better than yourself. Think, I love this man of God. He is awesome. You know what happened? God started giving me an empathy for him, compassion. I started to feel his pain and what he had walked through, not even knowing really what he had gone through. I started to think of him as a child of God. Before, I wasn't thinking like that. I was thinking, he's the enemy. He's not the enemy. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against each other. We're fighting against the spirits that come against us. We're fighting against a spiritual realm. So I encourage you to go to the Word of God. Take a hold of these promises. Let the Holy Spirit convict you. Say, God, what do you want to speak to me? Let him transform your mind. There's one verse that I love in 2 Corinthians 5. It says that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new creation. If you really believe that about yourself, you're not going to act the way that you act. You're not going to walk in bitterness and hurt and pain. You're a new creation. You're not that old person that you used to be. God wants you to see yourself the way that he sees you. In Hebrews 4, it says that we come boldly to the throne room of grace. We come boldly. We take a hold of those promises and we say, God, this is your promise and this is who I want to be. I want to be the Word. When we encounter grace, there's a demand for change. If you hear grace in any other way, which I know there are preachers in this world that are preaching that it's okay if you sin. It's okay. Grace covers it all. But you know what? The truth is that grace empowers us to walk away from sin. That is the God that we serve. He empowers us to walk a godly life full of love and passion for his sons and daughters. He wants to prepare you in the spirit. Your walk with God, your walk here on earth, is all about intimacy. When I first gave my life to Jesus and was like, okay, God, I want to serve you. I don't get this. And I couldn't even really understand, like, how do these people serve an unseen God? This is just a crazy concept to me, but there was something stirring in my heart. And people would say, you have to have a relationship. And I'd say, okay, right, relationship with this thing, like up in the sky. And, oh my God, I was trying to process it, and I had this idea. What does a relationship look like? If I were married, I would probably roll over each morning, and I would say, good morning, husband, and kiss him or whatever. And I would talk to him. I would talk to him about my day. And this is just really simple. Maybe it's not a profound revelation to you, but it was to me at the time. And I would say, okay, that's what I'm going to do to Jesus. I'm going to roll over in bed and say, good morning, Jesus. And I started doing that every day. I would speak to him just like I was speaking to my husband. I would talk to him every day like he was my best friend. And you know what? My life started to be transformed. My spirit became connected with his spirit. I began to hear his heart. And I don't know how the prophetic all works. And I don't know if people are just, you know, one person is more prophetic than the next. I believe it's a gift, and if you want it, you can have it. The Bible says that we should desire it more than anything else. But I begin to know God's thoughts. As I communed with him and became intimate with him, the most fruitful thing that you're going to do is talk to God. Have intimacy with him. Become one with him. I have a few more points. I don't know how much time. It's like 4 minutes to 12. Is 12 when we're supposed to end? Are you sure? Okay. I'll keep going. But the thing is, God wants relationship with you. He loves you. He thinks you're the greatest thing in the world. And he desires that relationship with you. He wants your spirit to become one with his. You know, we look at, okay, maybe you don't, but I look at Instagram pretty much every day. And that's not real life. Social media does not show you a real picture of life. And sometimes we look at Instagram and we begin to think like, I want my house to look like that. I want this to be, you know, I want to be like that preacher up there and they're so powerful and they're making a difference or whatever it is. We follow different accounts and you know what? The most fruitful thing you're going to do is in your secret place. If you've ever watched that the War Room movie, I think that's what it's called, War Room, something like that. I love that picture, how she empties out her closet and she goes into the secret place, right? Her husband was transformed. Her family was transformed because she went into the secret place. Intimacy is how you're going to prepare your spirit for what God wants you to do. He wants you to walk in freedom. He wants to set you free. He wants you to know his plans. He's preparing you for the next season. Another reason for your season is that he has a place for you. And we have some more scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 12. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? No. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and grace are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. So we are the body. If you have said, okay, Jesus, like I believe in you, I'm giving my life to you, I want to serve you, you're a part of what the Bible calls the body of Christ. And you have a role to play in the body of Christ. We cannot do this without you. You were created for a destiny and a purpose. You weren't created just to come on Sunday mornings to church. It's more than that. You're not a mistake. Any sin that you have committed, any mistake that you have made does not disqualify you. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace wants to take you into a deeper walk with him, into a deeper place. He has a gift upon your life. He's given you a special gift that not everyone else has. You know, my amazing brothers and sisters and husband are all like incredibly gifted at music. That is not me. You don't want me up here singing. My husband laughs. Even on the way here, I was singing a song and I didn't know the next verse. And so I did like a da 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 da. And he's like, what are you doing? Or I don't know if Pastor Daly could hear me, but I was like, you know, when I sing songs, I just make up the words. Like, I just totally make them up and I like sing to Jesus. And I'm like, I go with the kind of the tone, but I just say whatever I want to say. And I can clap on beat for maybe 5 claps. Like, I can watch you clap and go. But then once I get to 5, it just gets off. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you don't want me up here. But you want my sisters up here. Have you heard them sing? You're like, they're anointed. They're amazing. And God has a gifting for you. Like, you don't want everyone to cook for you. Not everyone has this gifting. But you can come to my house and I will cook for you. Like, I love cooking for my youth kids. Like, every Wednesday we have them all over, guys and girls. And I always make fresh bread for them and they love it. Like, they feel so loved because I'm cooking for them. We have a very unique mix on our youth leadership team. It's me and my husband and another couple. And in the beginning, when we first, all 4 of us came together, and even before I was there, I know there was tension. And it was like, how do we all work together? And we went on, when I got married, I'm like, we need a leadership retreat. Like, we need to come together. And so we did this leadership retreat, and we started to look at our personalities and what we are passionate about and seeing how they could work together. So we have this young man on our team, and he is so creative and faith-filled, and he will give you the craziest ideas. Like, who even thinks of this? Like, that is not even possible. How are we gonna do that? But my gifting is I can make things happen. Like, I can see a vision and make it happen. And we'll have these meetings where he's like, we need to do this now. And I'm like, no, we can't do that now, but we should do this and this and this, and then we could do that. Like, we'll get there. And our giftings are coming together. I can't see that, but I could see this and this and this before we get to that. You have a place, like, that. There is a need in this church, but there's also a need outside of the church. God wants you to be ministering to people. He wants you to be loving his sons and daughters. And you have a gifting to do that. There's one of Vita Musica. He's in this church. He's my brother. His mom, actually, she's back here. She is amazing at hospitality and cooking and just taking, like, being a mom. Like, I've heard so many stories from Isa and Vita about how she just loves on this family, loves on all the friends and brothers. And I've had so much fun watching her on Instagram. I'm like, man, this lady is gifted. Like, she is so good at loving on people. And you have a gift, whatever it is. If it's making a soup and bringing it to someone, or if it's cleaning. The other girl on our team can clean like nobody's business. Like, I'm like, how did you make that so clean? She even has a cleaning business. She's so good at it. But you can use the gifts that God has for you anywhere. Okay, so this kind of brings, I'll do finances too. But you know what? You don't have to have $1 million like Bill Gates to give. Like, God wants to use every aspect. He wants to use your finances. Even if it's a little, the little that you could give, God wants to use it. When I was in a season where I had transitioned to a new state and I was looking for a job, I had like $300 in my bank account and I felt God say, give it all away. And I just got an apartment and my rent was going to be due at some point. And I was like, okay, Lord, like, I'll sow a seed. And so I wrote a check and I sowed the seed. And the next day I got a phone call for a job. And that job has been, I'm not in it right now, but it was such a blessing to me. It was working for a ministry and I learned more about the prophetic and, and leadership through this man than I had anywhere else. It was just such a blessing to have that job. And I know, like, I didn't even submit an application. They found my application online somehow. Like, you know how you're like doing Indeed and stuff or whatever, and somehow they found my application and called me. I don't know. God just set it up, and I sowed the seed, and they called me, and I was like, I'll take the job, whatever it is. But He has a place for you, and He wants to use every part of you. He wants to use your giftings. He wants to use the finances He has given you. He wants to use every part. Okay, the last P is a person. The reason for your season is a person. And I'm really passionate about this. I believe that He wants to use you to touch people's lives. I'm just going to kind of skim through it, but in 1 Timothy 2, let's see what comes up. It says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. He wants you to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, to intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Go to the next one. Like, this is all good, but is that everything? Okay, never mind. So verse 3, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity. This man, Jesus Christ, He gave His life to purchase freedom for everyone. God wants to use you. He wants to use you to bring freedom to people's lives. He wants you to use you when people are suffering from depression and anxiety. He wants you to go and set the captives free. The Bible says that we are anointed to set the captives free. He wants us to be in relationship. He said, it's not good that man is alone. So He created a helpmate, right? You guys remember that in Genesis? It's not good for man to be alone. He wants us to be in relationship. And you know what? The enemy doesn't. There are so many verses in the Bible that talk about unity. And the devil does not like it. He wants to tear down relationships. He wants you to be full of bitterness and confusion and hurt and pain. And He wants you to stay there. But God wants you to bring freedom and joy and life to other people. That's what we're called to. I already said this, but in Ephesians 6, it says that we wrestle against flesh and blood, not against the rulers. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, do not. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against our brothers and sisters. We don't wrestle against our mom and dad. We don't wrestle against the people of this world. We wrestle against the rulers, authorities, and unseen powers in the darkness, against spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly places. We're not fighting against each other. If you have bitterness in your heart towards someone in this room or towards a family member, I encourage you to pray for that person. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. Me and my husband have been taking this marriage seminar, and there was a couple couples in there that they were speaking out of hurt and unforgiveness. And this one woman had met her biological father when she was 13 years old, and the first thing he did when he met her was rape her, and continued to rape her. And she's now, I actually don't know how old she is, I don't know her that well, but she's probably in her 60s. Like, for years, she's held this hate and bitterness in her heart towards this man, and it's affected her marriage. And she just says, this is just the way I am. But you know what? You don't have to be that way. Like, I know. I have not been through what she went through, and I told her that. But when I was 16, I was raped. And I hated this man. Like, I imagined myself taking a brick and crushing it into his skull. And that was, like, the most satisfying thought I could think of. And then I come to church, and they're like, you should forgive and love everyone. I'm like, what? Like, you don't even know what people have done to me. That's my thought. And then you hear preachers say, you should pray for those who have hurt you. And you're like, what? Like, how am I going to pray for these people? But you know what? I chose to believe. I chose faith. And I said, okay, God, I'll pray for these people. And God gave me compassion for those people. And when I shared that in this class, and I said, you know what? I don't know what you're going through. I haven't been through that. But I have been hurt, and I have felt hatred and anger, and I have wanted to repay evil for evil. But when I started to pray, God gave me compassion, and he changed my heart. He doesn't want you to live in unforgiveness. I have seen that woman since that class, and I prayed for her afterwards, and she looks like a different person. She looks like 10 years younger because the Holy Spirit worked in her heart to forgive her father. And she came up to me and said, you know what I've done? I've put a calendar in my room. So any day that I think I don't want to forgive him, it's a reminder that I'm going to forgive him daily. This woman is a new person, I'm telling you. And I'm a different person because of the power of God. He wants you to touch someone's life. Who are your neighbors? Who are you going to school with? Who's looking at your Facebook or whatever? Like, God wants you to touch their lives. He wants you to use whatever platform he's given you so that they can encounter him. I can't guarantee that if you pray for someone that it'll change their heart. But I can guarantee it'll change yours. When you start to pray for someone who's hurt you or brought offense, Jesus can transform your heart. He can give you that hard, hard heart. He can make it flesh again. And as I was worshiping and the team was up here worshiping, I felt in my spirit that when we were singing, you have never failed us. You have never failed us. That there's people who thought in their heart, how can I sing that? Do you know the pain that I'm experiencing? And I believe today that God wants to touch your heart, that he wants to release that unforgiveness. I want to pray for courage in each one of you, anyone who's battling with unforgiveness, to take it to God. I don't care if it's something that has been in your heart for 40 years, like this woman. God can set you free. You can walk out of this place a new person. Can the worship team come up and sing that song again? I asked Pastor Mike if we could pray during these services, and he said that there's a ministry team. So, you know, I want the team to come up here and sing this song. And as we're worshiping, if you feel any part of this message touched you and you just want prayer, you want someone to stand with you, there's going to be a team of people up here ready to pray with you, ready to break the lies that the enemy has spoken over you, ready to open up the gates that the enemy has held you in. I believe that Jesus can do anything. I believe it. That you don't have to walk in the pain and the suffering that the enemy has wanted for your life.